Open your Bible to Psalm 103. Glory to God. If you're not happy yet, you will be. Because when we open the Bible and read it, we get happy. Psalm 103. And if you're good today and listen fast, we might not have to turn to any more scriptures. And everybody takes a big sigh of relief. I'm going to quote a bunch to you, but you don't have to turn there. Isn't that nice? I owe you one, right? All right, here we go. Are you ready? So we're going to talk today about, I don't know the title, but we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about the goodness of God. And we're going to talk about you experiencing the goodness of God. And here's why we got to talk about it. Because everybody quotes Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you get down to the end of that and it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that's an exciting truth that people quote, don't even know what they're quoting sometimes. Now we know what, because we've studied it, we've got revelation of it, that he is my shepherd. I don't have to lack or want for anything. But when we start quoting these things, we have to quote them like from our heart so we can fully believe it. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Say that out loud. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sister Elaine, she'll never forget that scripture. She named her two dogs Goodness and Mercy. They follow her all over the property. You should be able to, wakes up with goodness and mercy, goes to bed with goodness and mercy, and they follow her all day, every day, until she says no. But you should be able to look back and see goodness and mercy all the days of your life. Wow, 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 wow. It should be more than a slogan people say in church. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. It should be more than, now that's fine, but it should be more than just a slogan, it should be reality. And if it's not, if you're not seeing God's goodness and mercy in your life consistently, or being able to recognize it all the time, then something is a little off. So that's why we gotta shore up our faith and our understanding of some of these things to make sure we're applying it in our life. How do we connect with a good God? How can we be sure that we're experiencing God's goodness? Because some people have only experienced bad things in the earth, and then so they're the ones that would say something ridiculous like, well, you know, we don't always know what's good for us. Sometimes he gives bad things so that you can learn things, so that you can know what is good. So it's good because it was bad, and then it helped you realize what was just irrational logic that's not scriptural. Truth is, God's a good God, and we're supposed to be experiencing that. Now, over in Hebrews 11, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we do have to recognize the role that faith plays. Not general faith in God, that I believe there's a God, and I believe that there's Jesus, and I believe that he's good. Not general faith, but more specific faith. Because the scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of everyone. No, it doesn't say rewarder of everyone. It says that must believe, you can put it up there if you want, Hebrews 11, 6. Must believe that he is. He is what? Well, he's everything. He's good. He's Father. He's everything to us. Must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not everyone, only the diligent seekers. He'll reward you. You'll get to have some of his goodness rewarded to you if you diligently seek. So let's seek him today. So we're just going to go through this Psalm 103, which most of you have already read, you know, bunch. And we're just going to make sure that we're seeking him. Doing it his way. What does it mean to seek? It means to go learn. It means to go do it his way. It means to follow him. It means to be involved in him. I said diligently seeking means being involved with Him. And this is where most people would fail, thinking I need God to be part of my stuff rather than just be part of His. Diligently seeking Him and His ways, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things are added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, His things, His way, His kingdom. And then everything else gets added to you. You'll have a job and you'll have a family that's doing well. You'll have joy and peace and righteousness. Right. If you'll seek Him, you'll have all the stuff, and you'll have money, and you'll have all the things you think you want in life. Milkshakes with your meal, you know, whatever. But if you're not seeking God, no milkshake for you. No soup for you. Y'all are so bad. All right, so today we seek. Are you ready? First of all, believe that He is, and we're going to read this passage, and you'll see some of these things, that He is good, that He's loving, that He's Father, that He's righteous, that He's just, that He's honest, He never lies, that He's true, that He's truth, that He cares, that He knows, that He sees, that He rewards all the wonderful attributes of God, that He's faithful, never unfaithful, always there, always present, always taking care of us, always providing, always everything. So let's read it. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness, justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Stop there for a moment. Let's go back to verse 2. Forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. Don't forget the benefits of the Lord. David is telling himself, he's basically saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's telling himself to bless God, to acknowledge, to be grateful, to bless the Lord, to minister to the Lord. He's saying, soul, you acknowledge God here. And don't you dare forget His benefits. And so, Mr. and Ms. Christian, don't forget the benefits of God. Yes, heaven we know is there, and that's our destiny, but there are so many benefits. And then he goes through some list here, so let's do it a little bit. And then we have to ask ourselves, why do we need to tell ourselves this? Well, this is what faith does. Faith doesn't just memorize things. Faith tells itself things. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Faith, real faith, has a belief in its heart and words out of its mouth. You understand that? The way that you were saved was by faith. You believed something in your heart, and then you said a prayer with your mouth so that you could be born again. Forgive me, save me, come into my life, be my Lord. You had to say it. Didn't you have to say it? Didn't somebody make you say it? Or you made yourself? Somehow you muttered those words. Even if it was a whisper in your car, Lord Jesus, save me. That's why we put it on the billboard out there. How many of you saw the billboard today? All it takes is to see the truth and then believe it enough to say it. I have a feeling many people are going to get accidentally saved. Driving by and they see a sign that says, Lord Jesus, save me. If an honest person with a true heart says it, even accidentally, God will save their soul. And if nothing else, it's a seed for people. Because we have to believe something that's right and true, and we have to say it with our mouth, and then boom, we're saved. And so that's why the words are important in your life. Let me do a review on words. Everybody knows how powerful words are? How powerful are they? Well, life and death are in your The power of your tongue. Life and death are in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth, and there's also some death and destruction in your mouth. And the Bible talks about how words can change the course of your life. The words out of your mouth can change the course of your life. Some of you are in a not so great spot in life, and it's because of your past words. That's good news for everybody. Because if your mouth got you where you're at, your mouth can get you out of where you're at. But you're going to have to believe that there is some power in what I believe and say. Here's some scripture, Proverbs 18:20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. What does that mean? That means if you'll talk right during the day, you'll feel good in your belly. But if you're grumbling all day, you're going to be a sad person. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 12:6, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. People are snared by what they've been saying. But the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Proverbs 13:3, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Uh-oh. What is that saying? It's saying some people need to shut their mouth. You got a lot of trouble going on in your life? You need to shut your mouth for a while. And if you're recently saved, if you've just recently received Jesus and professed a faith in Jesus Christ and asked God to save you, if you're recently saved, the best thing you can do for about 3 months is don't say anything. Just zip your lips and learn. Learn how to talk. Learn what God thinks. Learn the truth before you start talking again. Because the world trained us wrong. Everything we've been saying from the world is wrong. And so it happened to me. I just got real quiet for about 3 months. Everybody thought I was so holy. If you don't say anything, they'll think you're holy. The truth was, I didn't know how to talk. And so they would think that I'm like Mr. Christian, you know, and I'm thinking, you didn't know me last week. But you got to retrain your mouth, and you'll learn how to do miracles with your mouth. You know, Jesus said, speak to the mountain, speak to the fig tree. Jesus spoke to the sycamine tree. They spoke to the wall of Jericho, and it fell. David spoke to the giant before he threw that rock at him. David told that giant what was about to happen before it happened. So your words kind of pave your way here. Our confession dominates us, and you really can't go higher than your confession. If you don't learn how to say Psalm 103, you really can't live up to that or go further than that. You can only rise to your words. Your words have to say it, and then your life can follow that. So all the people just want accidental miracles from God. Doesn't work that way. Nobody likes to hear that. People want accidental involvement by God. But faith people realize, oh, I have a part to play. If I want God involved in my life, I have a part to play here. Glory. You know some of the famous things where words impacted people. We have some stuff on John F. Kennedy. Did you know that when he arrived in Dallas on that November 1963 day, that he was quoted as saying when he arrived that if someone's going to kill me, they will kill me. And they did. Abraham Lincoln was quoted as saying, I'll die when this war is over. And he did. Elvis Presley, sorry, I know that's sacred, but anyway, Elvis Presley says, I'll not live a day longer than my mother when she died. And he didn't. You got to be careful about saying stuff like that you really don't mean, but you kind of do mean it. It'll impact you. Hebrews 4 says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder or splitting in two of the soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember that? Yeah. So the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. And people have taught that different ways. You know, some have brought a sword and started flashing it. But the two-edged sword really is a Greek word that has, it's made up of die and then I think stomos or something like that. And it means two mouths. So a two-edged sword really means a two-mouthed sword. The Word of God is a two-mouthed sword. Meaning it came from God. God spoke it out of His mouth. But now you need to speak it out of your mouth. And so if we don't use the sword of the Spirit, remember it even talks about Jesus, when He comes back, a sword will be coming out of His mouth. Why would it be coming out of His mouth? Why not in His hand? The sword comes, a two-edged sword comes out of His mouth when He's riding on that horse, because it refers to the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So not only did God need to say it, but you and I need to say it. If we're going to have it really do something in our life, we have to say the word. Amen. We have to speak the truth. Our mouth, our tongue, our words matter. And that's just a basic truth from God's word. Starts with salvation, ends with every other miracle. So think about that as we go through here. That David's saying, bless the Lord. Let's say some of these, remind myself of some of these things here. Forget not all His benefits. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Now, when you see the word iniquities, it means immoralities, your propensity to sin. There's more technical definition, but we don't use the word iniquity these days. We use immorality. Make sense? It means perversity, depravity. It can even mean guilt. But He forgives all your immoralities, all right? Now start realizing you need to base some of your faith here, that you and I need faith that He's forgiving my immorality. Because you're still dealing with a brain that's not perfect yet and a body that's not perfect yet. And so you're going to have to remember He forgives your immorality. It doesn't mean you continue being immoral. It just means if you slipped up, if something snuck in, if you did something, you have to have faith. He forgives your iniquities, your sins, your transgressions, your wickedness, your perverseness. Who heals all your diseases. Even modern day diseases that start with a C and end with a 19. Who redeems your life from destruction. He redeems your life from destruction. And I'll just be honest, Psalm 103 was in my lips almost every day in 2020. That's what I used as my penicillin. Building myself up, reminding myself. He heals all my diseases, redeems my life from destruction. Anything touches me is dying. Any evil thing touching me is dying. He redeems my life from destruction. Nothing. He protects me. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can hurt me. Anything that tries to touch me, oh, it's dead. And so you got to remind yourself, He heals you of all. And I know that all Christians know this. Most Christians that have read the Bible at all have read the scripture. But you have to say it. You got to keep it rolling in your heart. You got to keep saying it. You got to make sure that it's alive in you. Amen. And you know, the truth is, for divine health, you're going to have these words rolling around in you on a daily, weekly basis. That's right. Thank you. And this is why it's like, well, I thought that I didn't think anything was going to happen to me. Well, it's not like that. That's not how it works. It doesn't work just because you thought. The only way that faith can work is if you say. Some people don't like that, you know. They're like, oh, that's the people that blab it and grab it and lip it and grip it and say it and see it. And no, don't turn it trite. This is Bible. That you must believe in your heart and you must confess with your mouth if you're ever going to see a miracle. Don't trivialize something that's absolutely a Bible principle. So He forgives all your immoralities. People say, well, who's to say what's moral? God decides what's moral. And even though you don't know the Ten Commandments, even though you don't know all the instruction of the New Testament, morality is actually something that every sinner knows. He's revealed it to their hearts. Everybody knows there's a God. Everybody knows a sense of right and wrong. Romans chapter 1 tells us, I'll just read a few of these phrases. What may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. God's shown morality to every soul. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Everybody really knows there is a God. Even atheists know there's a God. Because the Bible says so. And because they've tested it. One of the big colleges, universities, they did a study. They got all these atheists together. They put them on lie detector tests. And they asked them one question. Do you believe in God? And all the atheists said, no, I don't. And the needle went crazy on all of them. Because deep down, everybody knows there's a God, even if they try to dismiss it. Why would somebody want to dismiss? So that they can live like they want. To not have to live up to any standard of a higher authority is easy. Everybody would prefer that if you could. Just live like you want to live. Kids want to live like they want to live. How do you know? Because kids that are 5, 6, 7 want to run away from home. They didn't get their way. That's it. I'm running away from home. I got my hobo bag. It's true, isn't it? And so that's what you and I, first of all, as adults, we recognize there's order in this life, and there's authority, and there's responsibility, and there's submission to others in this life. But then even more so as Christians, we're submitted to him. Once he becomes Lord, it's like, what would you have me to do, Lord? How should I live my life, Lord? And if you'll do that with a sincere heart, you'll get less selfish. You'll learn how to serve God faithfully. You'll learn how to please him, and that'll actually please you. Somebody who lives a selfish life, they're not happy on the inside. I'm telling you. They look happy on the outside sometimes because they do whatever they want to, anytime they want to, all week long, all year long. But they're not happy on the inside. Amen. So they got to keep doing it and keep doing it to stay happy. And the next thing you know, they committed suicide because they weren't happy. Because that's not how happiness comes. Happiness comes by pleasing God. Once you please God, you'll know it and your heart will say, "Woo, we're having a good day today." The best day of your life is the day you don't sin at all. If you could not sin for a day, you'd have a wonderful day. I've told people that, and they're like, oh no, everybody sins every day. No, they don't. No, I've gone a whole day without sinning. You've gone a whole day without sinning probably, but I actually recognize them. I've gone 2 days without sinning. I think I've gone 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days without sinning. How about you? That was a good week. Way back in, no, I'm just kidding. I remember that week. Yeah. Where, I think it was back in, before any gray hair. I don't know if I've gone a full week, but I know I've had spurts and seasons where, and listen, the reason I'm telling you that is because it's not like you have to try real hard. If you could just seek the Lord and enjoy him all week, you wouldn't sin. Go to a gospel conference all week, you don't have time to sin. Spend your free time seeking the Lord, reading your Bible and praying. You won't have time to sin. But it's just such a clean, free week. You don't have to deal with yourself. You're just loving Jesus and loving people. It's a wonderful feeling on the inside. And you've experienced it. And so just have another week like that and another week and another week. So sin will mess you up. There's a bad result. There's a con for iniquity. The result of iniquity is not you got to have more fun than other people. The result of iniquity is your conscience got guilty. And when your conscience is guilty, you're just not happy. Okay, I'll pull it back to where it's only the good side of things over here. Oh, I was reading you Romans 1. Okay, so let me finish this. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, and that people are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. All the atheists out there, all the intellectuals that say there's no God, they're just fools. Brother Emilio has told them to their face. Do y'all remember? It's in my book, The Call of the Christian. I wanted to put Emilio in there because he just got right to the point. He was talking with an atheist and he said, you know what? You're the dumbest person on the face of the earth. And they got, yeah. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. You're a fool. It's the our atheists have complained that they don't have any holidays. You know, we got Christmas, we got Easter, there's Jewish holidays, all these different religious holidays. We don't have a holiday. Somebody said, no, you do. It's April 1st. So we do have to realize, we who want to know what God knows and do it his way, we have to admit some things. So Proverbs 28:9 says this, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So people want to argue about morality. God said, if you don't care about hearing his words, even your prayer is an abomination to him. So the standards of God are just way different. And those who really want to get close to him, we're fine with it, right? Psalm 66:18, I'll read this to you. See, I'm trying to help you not have to turn very far because you're so slow anyway. No, I'm just kidding. If you're slow turning to the Bible places, that's fine. We were all slow at one time. Matter of fact, I was so slow, I bought me a Bible that had the indention with all the little cheat marks. Thumb index. Some people get them with tabs. Mine was indented, like professionally done. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, so this word iniquity, there's a problem. I mean, it causes problems in this life. If I regard immorality in my heart, the Lord won't even hear me. Now, sure, he's omnipotent and he could hear me, but he has chosen not to hear me. If my heart can't even pray right with a clean heart, he doesn't listen. You see that throughout Scripture, that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto our prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So sure, he knows what they're doing, but he ain't looking. Sure, he knows what they're doing, but he ain't listening. So if our heart regards iniquity, meaning if my conscience condemns me, makes me feel guilty, the Lord won't even hear my prayer. And all of a sudden we realize, oh, as a Christian, I need to deal with this iniquity. And you need to learn how to deal with this iniquity. Because he says that he has forgiven all of our iniquities. But you have to have faith in that. And as a Christian, you're feeling clean and you're doing good, and then all of a sudden your heart begins to condemn you of something. Maybe it was your attitude towards somebody. Maybe you were unkind. You stepped out of love. You were too selfish. You did some lustful thing. You caved to the devil's temptation in some way. How are you going to deal with that? Now, we've taught hours on this subject, and you need the teaching. It's in the faith store. It's online. It's the righteousness by faith alone message. It's the grace message. It's learning how to sort this out as a Christian so that you can remain happy and healthy on the inside. Because if you have a shortcoming, if you blow it, if you sin, you have to know what to do with that. How are you going to deal with your iniquity? you're going to have great confidence in the blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ, we have remission of sins and forgiveness. Because of Jesus Christ and the blood, we don't have to live with iniquity in our heart. So if you've sinned, you're not supposed to, as a Christian, live with iniquity. You're supposed to turn to God and be cleansed of unrighteousness. Here's some more scripture on how Psalm 107:17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. But after the cross, God is your Father, and he allows everybody to come in to his throne room. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. It's a life changer. The cross of Jesus Christ was a game changer. It was a world changer. It was a human changer. Jesus changed everything. Because of Jesus, these Old Testament scriptures, they do show the detriment of sin. But because of the cross, we have victory over sin. And we have an answer. So that now I don't have to go kill animals or feel guilty the rest of the year until somebody kills an animal for me to sacrifice. Now I go straight to God and I get cleaned. And I stay cleaned. And I have more confidence in the blood of Jesus than I do in the repercussion of iniquity. Let me say that again. You need to have more confidence in the blood of Jesus and what it did for you than you do in the repercussion of iniquity and sin. Sin does have a result. But I have more confidence in the blood that it can erase that. The Old Testament predicted this was the nature of God, even in the Old Testament. God said, I will blot out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God's plan, his desire was that he would blot out your transgressions, not just for your sake, but for his sake. Like, he's a wonderful, loving father. He didn't want to remember your garbage. And then you get to the New Testament. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. So if you're honest before God and have admitted things and have had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, God doesn't even remember last week. I mean, unless you passed out a tract, he remembers that. But he didn't remember anything bad from last week. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. When you look in the mirror, you need to not remember last week.
Amen.
You need so much faith in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus that you don't remember your garbage from last year, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or all the mistakes you've made. Somebody said, how many mistakes have you made? None. At least I can't remember any of them. That's why you never hear me up here preaching. Well, you know, I've made so many mistakes. I don't even remember them. I just think I'm perfect. No, I'm just playing. Just playing. We remember Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Remember that? At the cross, he took our griefs, he carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our... The cross just took care of all of it. He was beat up and bruised for our immorality. No sense you beating yourself up. Let's move on here to verse 4. He redeems your life from destruction. Redeems your life from destruction. I have a little note in my margin here from 2018. Joni was preaching August the 23rd, if you wanted to look it up. And I wrote in here, no excuse Sunday. This is not feel good Sunday. This is drive out sickness Sunday. Amen. This is drive out sickness and iniquity and destruction Sunday.
Hallelujah.
No excuse. You got the promise right here. There's no excuse. If you can say this from your heart, you can have what it says. He heals you of all your diseases, all your, all. Brother Mai says that's the longest word in the Bible. All, all. It's a big word, isn't it? He heals you from all diseases. All diseases. All, even the newest ones. And if you can believe it, you'll be healed of them. You've heard me tell the story, but I want to tell it again. There's a preacher in town. I think he's still alive. He was a Baptist preacher. His name was Dwayne Miller. And you can find this online if you want to look it up, because it was an audio. And I used to have the audio cassette that somebody made from his radio program. But I was on his way to radio program one time, so I met him, and so I knew the story and all that. But his name's Dwayne Miller, Baptist pastor. And then he got a problem with his larynx and his larynx. He got a problem in his throat, and he couldn't talk. And all of a sudden, these polyps developed, and this weird disease developed. And so he lost his voice. And so he's a pastor who had to quit preaching. For a number of months, he quit preaching, and the doctors told him, "You'll never preach again." But he's a pastor. That's how he makes his living. He had a radio program. That's how he makes his living. What's he going to do? And so he was relegated to teaching in the Sunday school class. So he figured he could whisper enough in Sunday school to teach. And so he was teaching a Sunday school class, and you can hear this on the cassette recording. Well, now it's, you know, an MP3 file, whatever. But he's on there, and the audio, and you can hear him, and he's doing this, and he's reading Psalm 103, and he bless the Lord. He's reading Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness. And he stopped, and then he stops. And you can hear this in the audio. And he says, wait. He said, something has happened. Something has happened. He said, this, I don't know what's happening. And I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, I know. I know exactly what just happened and why it happened. This was no accident. This was Bible principle. He was quoting this out loud. And what must have happened is that in his heart, it rang true. And as he said it, it came to pass. Because that's what faith does. That's how faith works. That's how miracles actually happen. We believe something true, and we say it out of our mouth, and God sees that. Isn't that exciting? God heals even the Baptists. Hallelujah. Don't think you're special because you're a non-denom person. There's no such thing really as non-denominational person or the way the Lord looks at everybody, it's just his people. And he ignores the fact that everybody split their own group. So it doesn't matter to him. All he's looking for is faith. Doesn't matter what the name of the church is on the outside. Anybody that has true faith and follows the faith principle, whatever that might be by the Holy Spirit, he'll answer. Isn't that exciting? He redeems my life from destruction. How about yours? That means my life can't be destroyed. No. He redeems my life from destruction. He paid for me to not be destroyed. He paid for me to not be destroyed. Glory. Other people get punished with everlasting destruction. I'm redeemed from destruction. Glory. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but I ain't through that wide gate. I'm on the narrow gate. My narrow gate leads to path. Jesus' narrow path leads to life. Amen. Glory. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Everybody wants to work. All the little teenage girls want to have a crown. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Tender mercies is the nature of God. And you need to know that. That the events in your life, the occurrences, anything that's happened in your life, if it's from God, it has tender mercy on it. Not evil and destruction and tragedy. Not harsh rigor, pressure, and squeezing the life out of you. That's not God's work. Many people want to blame everything on God. Oh, no. If it doesn't have tender mercy on it, it wasn't from God. When it has meanness, harm, evil, suffering, sickness, disease, and pain, it's not from God. His works have tender mercy. Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now that's what God thinks about himself. That's what God said about himself. We need to believe what he said about himself. Rather than look at the suffering of the world and say, well, I guess God had a reason to do that. That's a lie. That's not the Bible. That's Dumbo preaching to Dumbo. I mean, the blind leading the blind. Don't make up your own opinions based on what you see out there. Go to the Word of God and figure out where God stands on these matters so that you can fall in line with Him, Amen. Be part of Him. You know, if you're going to experience somebody's goodness, you got to get close to them. If you're going to experience Pastor Joni's goodness, you got to be in church. If you're going to experience Brother Benjamin's love and life, you got to know him. If you're going to experience God's goodness, you're going to have to get closer. You're going to have to know him. He didn't require you to know every single thing about him, but anything you want to delight in, you need to get close with it. You need to believe 10 scriptures so you can be close to God in those 10 ways. And if you're not, you won't experience his goodness. And they can just follow Elaine around. Your goodness and mercy can follow her around. Because she don't play around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, he's good to us. He's always good. He's never bad. And he's never both. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed. People have tried to figure out what this youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, eagles, it don't matter how old they are, they're still flying high and strong. Some people say it's because of the feathers, they molt and they get new feathers. Others people say because their beak gets all old and crusty as they get older, and so they just bang it against a rock and get a new beak. Come on. Regardless. Hallelujah. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. If you have oppression in your life, you need to have some confidence that God is executing justice against those demons. Against any plan of the enemy, he's executing justice. So you just stand firm and say, that's it. That's it. I'm getting my justice right now. I'm getting my justice. All the oppression, you leave the home. Leave the house right now. Leave the house right now. And if your spouse is part of the oppression, now, honey, I'm just letting you know that I'm standing against all oppression. So if you want to stay, stop oppressing. I know some people will go home and get in trouble with that, but it's the spouse that's oppressing that should get in trouble. So if your spouse ever calls you out on a scripture and calls you out on walking in love, you better adhere. Don't you dare get mad at somebody that's requiring you to live the Bible at home. Don't you dare. Like that'll make me mad. Really. When the Word of God is presented to you, you're supposed to bow. You're supposed to humble yourself. I don't care who said it. I don't care if it was your spouse who always wins. If your spouse reminds you of a scripture, you humble yourself to that scripture. You tuck your tail. You turn your cheek. You get... I'm real serious about this. Jesus... I mean, he's real serious about this kind of stuff. He even said it in red in the Bible. But if you want to be a real disciple, you're going to have to bow before the Word of God. It's going to have to mean more to you than your little feelings and your attitude, your bad attitude that you're trying to rule the house with Oh, when somebody reminds you of a scripture, even if it's your five-year-old, you're supposed to go, "You're right. I'm sorry." That fast. You got 10 seconds to say, "I'm sorry." 10 seconds to say, "You're right. I'm sorry."
Amen.
I'm making sure I can see all of your eyeballs. Come on, real Christians submit to the Word of God.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.